Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac. And you know, it's unusual for the voiceover guy to become involved in live radio. I was talking with our crack engineer, Mr. Kurt, and Mr. Kurt and I totaled it up, and it's been 7 long years I've done live radio. That means the microphone does not blink. Wait a minute. Wasn't that the camera doesn't blink? Dave
like that.
Isaac is not here today. He will not be here during the next 2 hours at all.
Oh, boy.
He's at a Coyotes event. I think it's a presser, and he will talk all about this for the entire week. But today, it's Jess Spurgeon, who you hear at the very intro of the show. And for the first half hour of Breakthrough Thinking, we have security and your well-being with Kara Lee. Kara, welcome.
Hi. Nice to see you and to hang out with you this time instead of Dave.
You know, it's been 7 long years. We're going to talk about security, and you have an outstanding guest. You want to tell our listeners who that guest will be in a matter of minutes?
Yes, we have Sal DiCiccio, and I hope I'm saying his name right, because I've heard it pronounced several different ways.
I say it DiCiccio, but we'll go both ways.
I'm sure he'll let us know.
All right.
He's a city councilman, and he's been in the news a lot lately for calling into question some of the fiscal monetary policies of the city. And he's got some people a little disturbed with him.
Any minute.
We will have him in soon, and we'll get to talk to him about that and what he's been going through and what kind of things he's trying to do to balance the city budget.
Our crack engineer will tell us when that call has arrived, but while we're waiting, talk to us a little bit about security and your well-being and how things are going at Global ITS LLC.
Well, my company was formed with the idea that it is I'm a broker for different types of technology. One, of course, being for home security systems, alarm systems, GPS tracking for people who have teenagers on the road or have fleets, and business security, those video cameras and things like that that help keep their businesses safe.
Wait a minute. You're not talking about just recalculating. You've gone the wrong way. You're talking about tracking your youngins.
Tracking your youngins, yes.
You know, I am glad that my parenting years, now I'm a grandparent, so I don't have to worry about that, but all of my 4 married children are really tech savvy. Do you think that they will entertain this GPS tracking?
Well, I hope that they will, because for teenagers on the road, it's the number one cause of death. Mm-hmm. We lose 6,000 of them between 15 and 19 every year, according to NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And it's very preventable. There are people with services that can help teach them better driving skills. I had one gentleman here a few months ago on the air, Robert Prevost of BetterSaferDrivers.org. Mm-hmm. He teaches them car collision avoidance skills. So he's got a great service to help help them gain those skills that they wouldn't otherwise have. And all of us can use that a little bit, because we don't know until we use it how our anti-lock brakes work and how to avoid overcorrecting in situations and not end up running into a tree. And then the monitoring device, the GPS tracking, can help parents monitor their teenagers on the road.
Gotcha.
Because it can help alert them when they're speeding or when their driving habits are not what they should be, and track not only where they are but how they're driving, and use it as a teaching tool. So that they'll be discouraged from making bad choices. And a lot of these kids that are dying, 2/3 of them are boys, because boys in that age group, they tend to take more chances, and those chances increase if they have friends in the car with them, more distractions, more people telling them to do things that they shouldn't be doing. And it gives them a way out to save face.
I have to ask this question. What about insurance rates?
Insurance rates can be positively affected. I understand that insurance companies are now starting to adopt policies that give breaks when you have some of these measures, these classes, and these devices in the car to track them, because it does reduce the risk.
This is a fascinating topic in and itself, but we are waiting for City Councilman Sal DeCiccio to make the phone call, and our crack engineer in there is not indicating that he has made the call. What else would you like to talk about while we're waiting for the guest to appear?
In some of my research about Congress, City Councilman DeCiccio, I found that he has had some personal threats against him. Against him and his family, because apparently the unions are very angry that he's bringing to everyone's attention some of these policies that the taxpayers are paying for, the very high salaries that a lot of people are making, the very high benefit packages. In fact, if you work for the city, it seems that if you work for them for 5 or 10 years, you can retire with full benefits, and the full benefits are about 60% of your normal salary, which is a very nice deal that most people in the private sector would not be privy to.
And there are whole cities in California that, I shouldn't say whole, like, you know, dozens, but enough to make a difference, that have gone bankrupt because of the high salaries for vital services, but yet you question. And I think this is what the city councilman Sal is talking about, and guess what? I think he's ready for you.
Oh, fantastic.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? We've been anxiously awaiting your arrival here.
I know. I apologize. I ran to a phone.
Oh, wow.
No, it's okay. I'm glad to be on. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. You've been in the news quite a bit lately, and I understand you've even had some personal issues around some of your conflict with the union leaders.
Right, the government union.
Yeah. And please tell us more about that. I understand you've uncovered some policies that negatively impact our fiscal policies here in Phoenix.
That's exactly correct. I mean, when I got put back on the council, I asked, you know, the public asked that I look into these things. And so I've been probably once a week now been revealing something new that's been occurring. And so let me give your listeners just some facts, and then we can go from there. One, the city council tomorrow is going to be voting on whether or not employees should be getting pay raises as part of the overall budget.
That's tomorrow?
That's tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
I believe it's unconscionable to be giving raises in this economy where people are suffering, people are barely making it, and then to take and dig more money out of their pockets. I just don't think it's fair. But let me give you some ideas of why. And I want you to take a look at it in two perspectives. One is the economic side of it, and then the other is the productivity side of any organization, whether it's government or whether it's, you know, private sector. You have two levels. You have economic, and then you have the productivity side. On the economic side, we have 15,000 employees, and our average cost per employee is $100,000 a year.
Nice deal.
It's a phenomenal deal. And so when you look at that, and when I'm talking costs, that's fully loaded, that because you've got to look at their pension benefits. You know, because if you look at their salary comprises right around 60%, and then their pension and all their benefits they get from the city are around 40%. And so you'll only hear them talk about, you know, well, our salary is. Well, no. You know, you got to also consider the fact that you're going to be paid for the rest of your life once you retire.
Right.
So when you look at that, it's unsustainable by itself. Now you've got to look at the other side of the equation, which is the productivity side. A first-year clerk, first year, and this is the lowest level that you can, you know, basically get started on at the City of Phoenix, a first-year clerk. Guess how many days they get off their first year?
I heard something like 4 weeks or 8 weeks or something?
It's 8 weeks. It's 40 and a half days.
Wow.
That's the start.
Uh-huh.
Now, it only grows as you're with the city longer. A first-year manager is anywhere from 46 to 48 days off your first year. Now, you combine the economic cost that you have in the City of Phoenix at $100,000 per employee.
Right.
Then you combine that with the loss of productivity because you have so many days off here. you got an unsustainable problem
that
needs to be fixed and readjusted. So what does the city of Phoenix do? I mean, we come out and, you know, the city of Phoenix will come out and say they've done all these great things, when in fact they've done some things, but it's all things that are minor and they're on the edge. What you really need to do is really restructure our operations to bring that cost of labor down and to increase the level of productivity. You have to do that. Otherwise, here's what's been happening. There's only three ways to fix this problem. One, you grow yourself out of it. That means the economy continually grows, and you can pay these because it goes up every single year. Every year, employees get pay raises in the city of Phoenix.
Right.
Every single year.
Right.
That's just what they get. I think that's wrong. But you can grow yourself out of the economy, or you can, you know, restructure your operations. And growing doesn't work in this economy. It just doesn't.
Right.
The economy's not growing. So now you're left with only two alternatives. One is to restructure or take more money from the public. Restructuring really hasn't happened to the point where you're going to save the taxpayers money. So what has the city of Phoenix done in the last year, year and a half? They've raised fees and taxes on the public of $130 million.
Right.
So you're taking more money out of people's pockets, and higher water rates, higher food tax, less services, you know, cutting after-school programs, cutting library hours, cutting pools. So you've got an unsustainable problem that very few people want to address. And the reason things don't get done, and this is the bottom line, is that the government unions control the show here. They literally control it. And they have been very accustomed to this. They feel they're entitled to these pay raises, when in fact, I don't have any problem with people making more money. I just don't want them to go into anyone else's pocket to get it.
Well, and even if the economy was growing, they would still be picking everyone's pocket to do this.
They would, yeah.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be taking as much proportionally as what they would be doing.
But at a time like this, when everyone is suffering, it is rather unconscionable that they're continuing to grow at that rate.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's just not fair.
It's not.
It's not fair to the public.
Now, how has the current conflict affected your own sense of safety and security? I understand you've been the target of some threats.
I have. My car got vandalized.
Oh, my.
They've called my wife at home. It was just along the lines of, you know, we're looking for homes for union members in your neighborhood. Do you know of any homes in your area, in your neighborhood?
Wow.
It's a very subtle way of threatening her. And
yeah.
I found that very offensive. And,
yes.
Well, I won't tell you what I, well, either way, I just don't ever think you'd call a person's spouse. I think that is just beyond the lines of fair play. We've got people that drive our neighborhood. They took a picture of my family car.
Wow.
They sent me a letter right after the Gabriel Giffords shooting, right from the Union Hall, that had my silhouette and said, "Aiming for you." It was 2 days after the shooting.
Isn't that considered stalking?
I don't know if it's stalking or, you know, people, you know, if you're a public official, you're, you know, and believe me, I'm not complaining. I'm not one of those kind of guys that complains about this kind of stuff at all. But this is why things don't get done. But whether it's stalking, I think the police department could go either way on that. We've talked to them.
Right.
And, you know, they think it's, you know, at least borderline harassment, which is, you know, people have a right to harass their elected official. They don't have a right to harass my wife. And they don't have a right to be taking pictures of our family car.
Right, right. They have a right to contact you and certainly to argue their point, but when it gets to the point of being threatening and certainly against your family, that's over the line.
It is. But that's why things aren't getting done anywhere in government, because these challenges are tough. I understand it.
Right.
You know.
Now, tell me a little bit about how you got back into this job. I understand you've had the job a couple times before, and you were appointed to replace someone else. Is that right?
I did. A gentleman by the name of Greg Stanton left to get a job at the state attorney general's office.
Oh.
And the council put me back on because of my budget experience. I mean, that was why I got put back on the council. I will lay odds that the council that put me on is regretful of that. And it's, you know, I'm a really nice person, but I, you know, these numbers speak for themselves, and you've got to redo it. They have to be done. You know, you have to fix things here. So I got put back on, then I got elected again. And I can tell you right now, it wasn't something that I thought that would be this hard to fix it. I just didn't think it was going to be that difficult. But the only way this is going to get fixed is when the public's voices are louder and more persistent than the government union employees. That's the only time it's going to get fixed, because they are currently the beneficiaries of the system, and they're not going to change it. They would prefer to raise your water rates than to fix it.
Right. And I understand there's been some complaint filed to recall your position or something.
That's right. They're looking to recall me now as well. They've got paid circulators, and they'll get the signatures. And I've been told it's the firefighter union that's doing that.
Wow.
So they're all working together, and that's okay. That's their right to do that. This is America.
Now, the firefighters are part of the city employees that are whose salaries are in question.
That's exactly correct.
Okay, now what are the departments? There are the firefighters, the police, obviously, right?
You have fire, police. You've got the more of the professional staff that's actually unionized. I think they've got 3,000 to 4,000 employees. Then you have multiple other unions that are, you know, different levels within the city of Phoenix. But I would say you're probably close to 90% unionized.
Right.
You know?
And some of these city clerks or office employees, when you compare their salaries to the private sector, we're finding, what, they're double what normally
would
be paid?
Well, you can't just look at salary. You have to look at their total compensation.
Right.
Because you got to remember, people in the private sector don't get taken care of for the rest of their lives. They do here. So you'll see salaries higher, and at the same time, their total compensation will be considerably higher, only because they're taken care of forever.
Right.
And, you know, here's a couple other things that employees at the City of Phoenix, they get $8,000 a year for education benefits.
Wow.
Tuition reimbursement. Mm-hmm.
I have a son graduating from high school this week.
Yeah.
And, maybe I should tell him to apply at the city.
You know, think about it. You're making a good salary. You're taking care of the rest of your life. You've got Cadillac health benefits.
Right.
And you get a lot of days off.
And did I understand correctly that you only have to work for the city for 10 years in order to qualify for these benefits for the rest of your life?
Some. For the pension benefit, I believe it's 5 years you're vested.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's obviously less money. You got to wait until you're, you know, you're 20 at least to get the full level. But look what happened with the last city manager. You know, this stuff starts at the top and then it works its way down. If the people at the top feel like they're entitled, then the people at the bottom feel they're entitled. You know, it's just like that with any organization. The last city manager, who I liked and I respected, but I don't respect what he did. He walked away in his last 3 years with $1.3 million.
Wow.
Yeah, and now his pension is higher than what his salary was here at the City of Phoenix for the rest of his life.
Wow.
You can't afford it.
Of course not.
You know?
Because that goes on and on forever, even after you've hired a new person with the same salary.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, I understand that you had a bill that was vetoed by the governor recently, but you're in the process of rewriting?
We're going to change it around, and it was pretty clean the way it was, actually. But what it did is it did two things. One, you know, really, what is the objective? The objective is to make the City of Phoenix the most competitive city in the world. You know, we no longer are competing with just Mesa or Tempe or Peoria. You know, our competitors now come from around the world. It's global.
Right.
So in order to be a global competitor, there's two things you have to accomplish. One is strategic speed. That means how fast can you move? You know, can you adapt with a changing economic environment, which we all know has been changing dramatically every day? And then the second is, how fast can we get the people that are in our economy to the market?
Right.
Those are the two critical things that the bill did. With a strategic speed, what it said was, every function that isn't strategic, police, fire, judges, 911 operators, certain attorneys, all the attorneys, would have to be competitively bid out. You know, automobile repair, IT, print shop, things like that would have to be bid out to see who can provide those services faster. There are two reasons why you want to do that. One, you get a natural, probably 10 to 20% minimum savings right off the bat.
Right.
But the second is that it allows you to adapt with a changing market. So let's say your market changes. You're able to move your city into another area that could be more effective. If you hire City of Phoenix employees, not only you got to take care of them, and it's hard to move them around the
right.
structure, but you also have to take care of them for the rest of their lives and pay those pension benefits.
Now, I didn't even realize that there were, say, automotive repair people and IT people that worked actually for the city, that had contracts with the city, that they're
employees.
Wow.
We've got close to 200 employees in just automobile repair.
I thought they had to bid for those contracts.
No, I know. Everyone does. I did, too. And so
right.
I started looking into it. We spend, taxpayers spend $34 million a year repairing automobiles at the City of Phoenix.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so,
if you get everything that you're asking for with reducing things to be more in line with the free market, with privatization, then is that expected to balance the budget in a very short time?
Well, it'll do more than balance the budget. It puts us in a more competitive stage, but it would be done in less than 1 year's time.
If we
were to look, easily. If we were to enact just some of the things that I'm asking to do, even if you brought the City of Phoenix to the same level as the private sector with compensation, you would save $300 million a year. So whatever you're getting paid is what we get paid. No more, no less, you'd save $300 million a year.
Right.
Just by equalizing the compensation packages for government employees.
Now, Governor Brewer has been struggling to balance the budget, ostensibly. Why did you veto this bill?
Well, the complaint was this, was that it should be done at the local level, and not the state should has no business getting involved with the cities. And if the unions didn't run the show here, so and they weren't so in control, logically that would make sense, but that's just not what that's not what you see on the ground. The ground is that they run the show. They've been running it for several years. It's gotten out of hand, and there's a lack of willingness to readjust and to change with the economic times.
Right. Now, what happens with this recall push? If they get the signatures, then what?
Well, they've got until August 5th to collect all the signatures, which they will do. There's mm-hmm. no doubt. I mean, when you're paying people, $60,000, $70,000, they're going to get the signatures.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, well, they're paid petitioners. And once they do that, then there'll be an election either in November of this year or March of next year.
Okay, and then it's just up for a vote, so the people get to decide.
Yeah, then there'll be candidates running against me. They'll have a handpicked candidate, because that's just what they'll do.
Right.
And then we'll just have to see where the voters want to go.
Right.
And they'll spend between $400,000 and $500,000 to try to get me out. That's the number I've been hearing.
Wow. So it's up to the voters to really be informed and understand what the issues are, and then hopefully they'll do the right thing, and you'll be back here for another couple of years.
Right. But here's the dilemma you have, and why, with the governor's reasoning and others' reasonings on this, is that all the elections in the City of Phoenix are on off-election years on purpose. Our turnout for a mayoral race is anywhere from 11 to 15%.
Wow.
Well, guess who turns out? The beneficiaries of the system.
Sure.
They turn out to vote. If you were to consolidate elections, literally move elections not only in Phoenix but throughout, and consolidate it with the county and the state election cycle, one, you save a lot of money. But two, your turnout will be at least 3 to 4 times higher than what you had before.
Right.
And the beneficiaries, which are the unions, they don't run the show anymore. So your consolidating of elections is critical for a structural change.
Now, what is your normal term?
Mine will be done in 2013.
I see.
But I'm sure I'll go through a couple more of these recalls. I'm not going to stop until it's fixed.
So if the people reelect you, then you're here for 2 more years or 4 more? Or
No, I'm there until 2013.
2013 still, okay.
Mm-hmm. And they literally could run a recall on me every year if they wanted to.
Oh, boy.
It's just what it's going to take.
Yeah.
If you don't do these things, you will never restructure your operations. I made a commitment. I'm going to stay here. I want this thing fixed.
Yes.
And that's it.
Well, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I'm
pushing for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Goodbye.
That was very informative. I learned a lot listening to the two of you talk. $34 million in just automobile repairs for the City of Phoenix?
Right. And those are not bid out. I didn't know that.
That's incredible. We're going to take a break so we can come back and visit with Kara Lee and talk about her company. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
We are back with Breakthrough Thinking. I am not Dave Isaac. Dave is at a presser with the Coyotes, and he would not miss that for the world. You know, I met a man who, after working with him for 2 years, decided he wanted to groom dogs. And there's nothing wrong with being a dog groomer, but I said to him, what started this? What caused you to want to be a dog groomer?
Uh-huh.
Kara Lee, you're not grooming dogs, but what caused you to start Global ITS LLC? What was the inspiration?
Well, it was actually a personal experience. And I've had, if you live long enough, you run into a couple situations in your lifetime where your home, your person, or somebody you love is threatened in some way.
The door wasn't broken
in. The door wasn't broken into, but there was a man threatening to break into my house, possibly come through one of my windows. And this was 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, and I live in a very nice neighborhood.
Whoa.
And it was just one of those things where he was after something and had the wrong house.
Yes.
And later found out that he was someone who had priors, because I did fill out a police report. And when I started looking into getting a security system for my home, because I thought it would be a good extra measure to alert someone when something like that is in progress, I found out that the technology now is so cool.
Cool. I love the word cool.
Technology is cool.
Yes.
There are so many things available now. You can monitor your house remotely. You can turn lights and off and on from your computer or your little cellular device, whatever you've got.
You can monitor RVs and cabins in the mountains.
With the GPS tracking.
It's amazing.
What I found was a number of different technologies and services that I thought it would be a really great idea to put all of these things into one location, which is why I developed staysafer.com, you go. And we've got two things so far there. We've got the home and business security, and we've got GPS tracking. We will be adding other services as well, where people can go and just look for exactly what they need to protect themselves and their loved ones and keep themselves out of trouble.
We only have a couple minutes, and I love this word picture thing. You've heard it over the years. It's too late to close the barn door once the
horse has gotten out.
Right. So don't wait, folks, for the security threat.
Right.
Do it now. While the horses are in the stable.
The saying is that it's better to have it a year too early than a day too late.
So now we've inspired folks who are listening to this program in an excellent interview I called him Congressman, too, City Councilman Sal DeCiccio. But tell us how folks out there can get a hold of you right now before the show ends at 4 o'clock.
They can get a hold of me at Kara@staysafer.com. That's my email. Go to the site, staysafer.com, or call me at 602-510-6465.
Now, that Kara is spelled with a C.
That's
C-A-R-A.
Right.
C-A-R-A.
C-A-R-A.
Kara Lee, 602-510-6465. You're here every Monday with the Big Dave, right?
I'm actually every fourth Monday.
You're every fourth Monday?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to have to come back more often. Smooth. First time in 7 years I've been on live radio, and who do I pick? A pro, Kara Lee. You need to call her, and don't go away, because we have 90 minutes left of the Breakthrough Thinking radio program, but someone else is going to be sitting in this spot. See you next time. Kara Lee, thank you.
Nice to see you.
Okay. What does your landscaping say about you?
I'm friendly to our planet.
I xeriscape.
I'm water smart.
I harvest rainwater for my landscape and garden.
I'm a free thinker.
My landscape is filled with flowers year-round.
I'm energy conscious.
I water wisely.
Clemente Design Landscape represents your vision with an understanding of what a well-designed and cost-effective landscape can do for you. Call us for a free one-hour consultation and evaluation at 602-540-3773. That's 602-540-3773. Or visit the website ClementeDesignIsGreen.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, certified financial planner and certified divorce financial analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, certified financial planner, 602-235-0336.
Monday afternoon, 2:30. Welcome to the Dave Isaac Show. And I'm not Dave Isaac. I'm Craig Dean. And we're going to have a fantastic show this afternoon, The Entrepreneurial Spirit, with Glenn Gormley. And Glenn has some guests with him, and he will introduce them. And we're going to have a fantastic afternoon of talking.
Absolutely. And turn around for a minute, Craig. Let me see that ponytail for a minute. Wow. Little inside joke here. I hope Dave's not
Dave
listening.
Dave and I look like twins.
Yeah, you sure do look like twins. But no, another great show, Craig, and we're going to have a good time. Today, brought in a couple of wonderful individuals with great companies here in the Phoenix, the true meaning of entrepreneurial spirit. Beth Yates is with us today from Five Star Solutions. And Doug Dowson is here with his company, Hoods. And Lance Reynolds from Food Biz Today and Grupo Patron is also on duty. So let's get this thing rolling and have a great time.
Yeah, I mean, all these people really exemplify the entrepreneurial spirit. Each of them have their own businesses. And, you know, we all know that the economy is very difficult right now.
Really? Tell me more about that.
Well, I've heard the rumor.
I have not. It's news to me. I've only been hearing about bad weather.
Yeah, and tornadoes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's unbelievable in the Midwest. What I like to do is have each person introduce themselves and tell us exactly what they do and how they're dealing with today's economy. Beth, we'll let you go first.
Hi, I'm Beth Yates, owner of Five Star Solutions, and we are a restaurant equipment repair company. We do all of the hot equipment in the kitchens, refrigeration, ice machines, air conditioning, anything that's in the hospitality in the kitchens.
And how many years have you been in business?
Since 2007.
Oh, you got in just at the right time.
Right. It was great the first year, and then it's been tough since then. But we're building and seeing improvements and growth every day.
And how many employees do you have?
We have four technicians, and then I have an administrator who helps me at the office.
24/7?
24/7.
So you have to go to restaurants that are open 24 hours a day?
We do. I'm on call all the time.
I think entrepreneurs are always on call.
Yes.
And Glenn, how did you meet Beth?
I met Beth through a leak. Well, we'll back up a little bit. I met Beth a couple of years ago when she was just getting started with her business. And we kind of, you know, did a little greet and meet. And, you know, Beth was busy building her business and I was building mine. And then one day I bumped into a gentleman, Lee Klein, up at Indulge Burger. And I was telling Lee a little bit about some of our programs, how we can save him money on his air conditioning costs and so on and so forth. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, if you're going to do any, you know, business with anybody, you're going to do business with Beth, with Five Star. And I was like, wow, I know Beth. So we basically circled around the wagon again and got connected and then went up and did a job together up there for Lee at Indulge Burger. And as they would say, the rest is history.
You know, I'm curious, Beth. You know, everybody has a story. How I got into restaurant business had nothing to do with what I went to college for or what my dreams and aspirations were. How did you get into the repair business?
Well, I used to have a chemical business and sold that in 2002, got into real estate, and then when the market came to a screeching halt, tried to find a way to get back in the restaurant industry without the chemical side.
And what kind of a chemical business was it?
Cleaning chemicals, the dish machines, leased the dish machines, provided everything, the disposables.
And what was the name of your company back then?
Accurate Chemical.
Oh, now this is starting. This is starting to make a little sense now. See, I understand this.
Okay.
So you're no longer married to Accurate Chemical.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Now we're getting someplace.
But the beautiful part of that is the experience that Beth brings to the restaurant owner. Uh-huh. She looks at the big picture. And we know today in business, you know, you've got to be way out of the box if you're going to be a benefit to your customer. Because they may have this particular struggle, but they've got something right next to them that they can't get a handle on. And so with Beth's experience with understanding chemicals, dish machines, and just the operation, you know, of the kitchen, and that's basically where the bulk of their work is. I mean, they're working on stoves and fryers and things like that. She's really able to help the customer in troubleshooting and point them in the right direction. And this is, you know, why Beth's organization, Five Star, is so important to Infinite Green Resources. Because, again, our focus, you know, is to bring as much benefit to the customer as we can. Mm-hmm. Because not always do they have the time to get after every problem in the kitchen. And if we can push them a certain direction, and this is what Beth brings, you know, when she shows up and her guys are out on the at the accounts.
You know, and it's really important. As a former restaurateur, you want someone who's going to service your restaurant who really understands your restaurant. You know, it used to drive me crazy when someone in sales would come in during lunch hour, the busiest time of day. Excuse me, I'd like to talk with you. They were dead in the water right then and there. I never wanted to see them again because they didn't understand when to not come into your restaurant. So it's extremely important to be able to have that knowledge.
Well, now, if they came in at noon with a food handler's card and an apron, and they understood the difference between pastrami and corned beef, you're hired. You're on duty.
Well, I always used to love it when the health department would come in noon.
Oh, at noon, yeah.
Yeah, and I had a really big restaurant. I seated 440 people. We served 1,300 to 1,400 people every lunch hour. And invariably, the health department would show up at 12 o'clock and they stop what you're doing and walk around with me. It used to drive me up a wall.
Yeah, well, I think it's also important, you know, that we look at, again, as I mentioned before, what do we bring to our customers, because they're struggling in many, many different areas. And we've seen that this downturn has put a lot of services on hold. And I know Beth has seen this, where we've had some neglect, and we think that we're actually saving money, but we're hurting ourselves, and it actually costs us more. And I've met all of everybody on Beth's team, and they're very knowledgeable, they're passionate about what they do, and they're able to really help the customer get things straightened back out, because it's a sticker shock when you have to work on something that's been neglected. So a lot of times they put a program together that will help that customer, you know, better equip themselves for getting out of kind of the mess that they've created for themselves.
You've probably seen a lot of duct tape in the last couple of years.
Exactly.
Restaurateurs are famous for doing anything they can to keep a piece of equipment going and operating. Lance, I'm sure you've seen a little bit of this.
Every day. And we see, figuratively speaking, they're holding the entire organization together with duct tape.
Absolutely.
You know, it's incredible. Once things start falling apart, they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very, very few business owners in general that are prepared for a downturn at all.
And especially when it happens that quickly.
Yeah. Overnight. Yeah. Literally overnight.
Yeah.
And I started my company in 2007 as well. And on the contrary, it's been somewhat of a benefit. You know, when we were going out trying to educate restaurants in 2007.
They didn't need it because they were so successful.
We're doing great.
I got it down.
We're doing great.
Yeah.
You know, we know what to do. And in 2008, we started getting phone calls and a lot of referrals. And I don't think we've had to sell since 2009, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very fortunate and very grateful for the business. And I'd give it all up to have the economy turn around tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I'm a capitalist, so I want to see this thing turn around as quickly as possible. But you're right. They hold everything together with duct tape and gum at some point because they panic. I don't think it's necessarily – it just doesn't make sense when you're on the outside looking in to cut.
Well, you can't cut your way to profit.
But when you're inside of it, I just left a meeting. I'm not going to mention the restaurateur, but, you know, he was telling me, you know I need to get to it. It's just, you know, money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not going to change until you invest in your marketing. They're doing nothing for marketing. And I hear this all the time, like, but I need to make money so I can invest in my marketing. And it doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And you talk about business owners. You could cut so much, but actually what you're doing in the long run is almost hurting yourself because you start cutting back in quality control. You know, all of a sudden the quality of the food goes down a little bit or the service. Hoods, you know, the hood and vent cleaning is one of the first things to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the insurance companies have got to hate that.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about hood and vent cleaning. What's happening in the industry with that?
Well, my company's called Hoods Kitchen Exhaust Cleaning. And
introduce yourself.
My name is Doug Dowson.
Okay, Doug.
And I own Hoods. And we looked at the market. What we found was there are a lot of kind of mom and pops and different organizations out there that can show up with some, you know, scrapers and a power washer and try to clean your kitchen. But what we found is that it's kind of a fractured industry. Not everybody does a good job. Not many people do really any kind of job. And they kind of exploit that part of the market like you're talking about, where the restaurant owner just wants to get the lowest price he can.
Right,
and
yeah.
It's kind of one of those out of sight, out of mind things. So if he doesn't see it, he just knows they came, they put that sticker on the hood that says it was clean that the fire inspector can look at, and they're kind of happy.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, like you had said earlier, it kind of ends up costing them when they have a fire, you know, God forbid, or the fan breaks down because it's been coated with grease for so many years, or you do have to get it finally cleaned and it's so caked on that it takes 2 days and you have to shut the restaurant down because the fire marshal told you better get this done and you have no choice. And, you know,
yeah, so. I don't think the average customer that goes into a restaurant really understands what goes on behind the scenes. You know, people don't realize, well, you have to have your hood and vents cleaned. You don't have them cleaned during the daytime when the restaurant's open.
Nope.
It has to be cleaned in the middle of the night.
Yep.
Well, and how many people are thrilled about working at 1 o'clock in the morning cleaning hoods and vents outside? You know, so unfortunately, the quality of the work is not always up to standards.
Right.
How do you deal with that and with your employees working those kind of weird hours?
With training and systems, you know, we try to offer the customer a better value by giving them a better product, but of course that costs you money and time. So through systems, through training, through certain techniques to save us time and make us more efficient, and hopefully keeping the customer on a schedule that allows the system not to get too neglected, we can get in there and get the work done and do a really, really good job and keep that system up to par there.
See, Glenn, he's talking exactly what we've spoken about with Infinite Green Resources.
Well,
education.
It's education, and I've had a chance to work with Doug and his crew. And I called Doug the next day, and I said, listen, I'm so impressed with the way that his organization presents. Now, most people would think, come on, that's just hood and vent cleaning. No, these are important parts of operating the
restaurant. Absolutely.
And what Doug is saying is so true that, you know, because we've got a pressure washer in the back of the truck, and I always looked at, you know, the landscape industry. Well, I just bought a new Toro at Home Depot, and I've got a pickup truck. I must be in business. However, we quickly realized that the rock that flew across the, you know, the roadway and took out a window in somebody's car, oh, I needed to have general liability insurance, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I had a chance to work with Doug again and his crew, and, you know, I'm a real visual guy, and Craig, you know that this is what we're offering, you know, our customers, is this camaraderie, many, many eyes out there taking a look at what you've got going on, which brings value. And you start to look at just the neglect alone, mm-hmm. and the fact that something that Doug realized early on in when we had our conversation is that there are issues to be found with chemical interference with a lot of the caustic products mm-hmm. that have been used for many, many years. And whether it would be the deterioration in your roofs, some of your sensitive electronic controls that are down in the kitchens, things that Beth has an opportunity to take apart when she sees all this chemical interference, the exhaust fan motors that are wearing out prematurely, these are all line items that affect the bottom line for that individual that owns
and when
the
you
restaurant.
Speak of the cost of chemicals, let's say your dish machine. You know, you would throw those big pots in through the dish machine. Invariably, after about a year and a half, they start getting potted. They don't heat correctly. You know, the food particles start getting caught in them. I mean, it's really amazing the chemicals that we are using in our environment.
Well, and I think, you know, the big connection here for everybody is education. When we're making tremendous amounts of money and the checkbook is just, you know, filled up with money and not just the checkbook has checks, we don't spend a lot of time really looking at those things that, you know, can help us in the future. And then all of a sudden, like this market, the brakes were just thrown on. I mean, we hit the windshield. There was no padded dash. I mean, it was bad. So all of a sudden, you know, conventional savings comes in and we look at the budgets and we go, well, this goes. Well, obviously, Lance has already hit on this. You know, we're in there, you know, providing damage control, making suggestions, and the customer is pointing out, well, you know, I really don't have the money for advertising, but I need more money. Well, listen, if you don't get the people in the front door, then you're not going to have the money to do anything. Mm-hmm. But if we also look at the back of the house where the real, you know, where the real money is spent, if they don't take care of the stoves, if they don't take care of the reach-in boxes, and they don't start taking a look at the hoods and other areas that need to be addressed, when the customer comes in and tries to understand why you're trying to get $10 for a great hamburger, as you just have described it, they just think, well, I can just buy a hamburger, get a bun, mm-hmm. put some lettuce and tomato. Why are you at $10?
Right.
Well, the customer doesn't understand all these things that go on, as you described, at 1 o'clock in the morning, where, you know, somebody, you know, from hoods is up there really trying to straighten out a problem due to neglect. They want to promote putting you up on a regular schedule. All these little things impact the customer in what they perceive as being value when they have to buy a $10 hamburger.
And trust is everything. When I had my restaurant, my philosophy was I needed the purveyors as much as they needed me.
Absolutely.
You know, and most people, especially in small businesses, I think kind of don't understand that. You know, the timely manner you pay your bills, the way you treat your purveyors, so on and so forth. That's why I love Infinite Green Resources, because this is a business that has such high-quality people that are in it. I would have loved when I had my restaurant to be able to make one phone call and knowing that I had 7 or 8 options of people to come into my restaurant that I knew I could trust and that were going to do a fantastic job.
Well, and it's consistent across the board that everybody, you know, again, is carrying that same message. And, you know, building a business like this, and again, I mean, you know, this is a division of Infinite Green Solutions, and we brought Infinite Green to market, you know, about 2 years ago. You know, everybody, you know, here today has entered the market about the same time. I mean, I dabbled a little bit late 2008, and then early 2009, I jumped on board full steam ahead. But I realized that when I came out promoting green, the first thing I got was, hey, Glenn, great curly hair, but I'm not going to get bankrupt with your green stuff, okay? Because I'm trying to save money. And so, you know, for a little less than a year and a half, I was out, you know, plugging along with this whole green message. And then, you know, the light went off one day, and I was like, wait a minute. I need to connect with the customer in other areas where they're being impacted. And those are costs of doing business through service organizations. And I found the same thing happened all the time, complaining about this person and complaining about this service and so on and so forth. And so we looked at if we put everything together and we got the right people on board, and we've had to sort through some folks.
Oh,
I mean, it's not – this is – you know, it's, you have to meet the criteria to operate in this world, because if you tell me that training is not important for the customer, check you right off
right,
the list.
Exactly.
Because what we're doing is developing new habits. Now, we've got the right team put together at this point. We know that they're carrying the same message, using the correct products, working with the customers, knowing that if you're talking to Beth or Doug or Lance, it's just like talking to Infinite Green. They're all part of that same organization. Now, we've brought the Infinite Green line of products, and it just came along for the ride. Mm-hmm. It didn't impact their bottom line. They found out how monstrous the products are, as we've heard from our customers. And then we get an opportunity to share more about training. Let us come in this evening, or you pick a night when we'll come in and train your clean, you know, your cleaning crew. Really? Well, we've never had that happen before. So these are the things that everybody in the group is participating
right.
in.
You know, and I love the trust factor. I mean, I'm watching TV the other night, and they showed this expo. They did this expose on people, you know, that are working on your air conditioning units. You know, someone will come to your house and say that's $1,800, and you find out that all they needed was a little condenser, you know, for $1,995. Same thing happens, you know, when you go to get your car worked on. You know, restaurants and businesses have that same problem all the time. Who do you trust? Lance, how do you deal with that with your business?
Well, that is kind of the name of the game. You know, it's this business is – the restaurant business is unique. It's not like anything I've ever seen. You know, I've been in the marketing world for many years. I was director of marketing for a NASCAR team for a while. So I've seen a lot of different angles of how to market a business. I also owned restaurants, so I understand the ins and the outs and the headaches and the 2 a.m.s and the and then back at 5 type of thing. And holding all of the pieces together – it is incredibly difficult. It's very, very hard to pull it all together, and you need the advice and the professionalism of a great team. And I think, you know, one of the things that I was so impressed by when I met Glenn was that he had all of these different resources and people that were part of his team. And so you can quite literally call one person and get so many different mm-hmm. services all wrapped into one phone call. From a marketing standpoint, you know, our clients struggle with that as well, and I'm sure you did also. You know, you have the advertising salespeople coming in at 12:30 because
right.
they all of their other clients, you know, don't have a busy time. They're retail and whatnot, and they're all coming in saying, "No, we have the mousetrap." And really, truly, if you use ours, you don't need to use anyone mm-hmm. else's. And it just doesn't work that way. And even with the people in this room, you know, it'd be very easy to break these folks up into categories and say that they're competitors instead of looking at it and saying, no, look, if we work together, we can make a lot of progress, help a lot of restaurants, help a lot of people, and together create some synergy to grow. And ultimately, the restaurant owner is the one who benefits, because you're just slammed all the time.
All the time.
It doesn't
all
stop.
The time.
You know, it's rare to see a restaurant owner or a restaurant manager eating in the restaurant. I never did.
I don't think I ever ate in my restaurant.
Very rarely.
I would stuff a sandwich down my mouth in the kitchen or something. I didn't even taste it.
It wasn't even a sandwich. It was a piece of bread with something on it that you made.
You know, and you always ate the leftovers. You never ate what you were serving your customers, because that was for them.
Right. What's left from the special today? Just put something in a bowl. I got to go.
I'd order pizza and bring it into the store.
It's necessity. You're just you never stop moving in from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. So when you have somebody that can come into your restaurant and truly solve a problem for you, whether it's the maintenance on your equipment, and they're thinking about it, they're worrying about it for you, and you can trust them to do the right thing, like finding a good mechanic.
Right.
Just man, I've got the most amazing mechanic. I just don't worry about it. And when you have that kind of peace of mind, you know they're not going to take advantage
of
you.
And that's the beauty of word of mouth. You know,
huge.
If this team comes in and does great by restaurateurs kind of keep their eyes and ears open about what their competition is doing. And if they hear that the competition has somebody that really repairs air conditioned units or does the hood and vent cleaning or is supplying chemicals or products or whatever to a restaurant. I mean, when we walked into that restaurant the other night, I was shocked beyond belief. Shocked beyond belief.
Again? Shocked again? Where can we start?
I know, yeah.
That's the most important. I mean, I'm
you're never, without words.
I'm never without words, but I mean, I just stood there and I was like, okay, what are we going to tackle first?
I know.
But yet, the crazy thing is, we've got three employees standing around, and where's the leader here? Where's the captain of the
right,
ship?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they're walking by this. Now, listen, if we're seeing it, your customers are seeing it. That's the problem. Never underestimate what your customers see and how they perceive you to be doing business.
As a restaurant owner.
That's the big thing.
Yeah.
It's the wild card.
Well, you have to walk into your place, your establishment, as a customer.
Yes.
You know, so many times our mind is just filled with 8 million things. So when we walk into our place of business, we see nothing.
Yeah.
But you, the minute you get out of your car, you have to become the customer and go, oh, my God, I never noticed those cobwebs up there before or something of that sort.
That's why you need another set of eyes,
yeah.
and that's what our team does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Doug's up on the roof and he hears something, you know, he hears a racket up there,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, that does not sound like a hood and vent problem because nothing's running that I'm working on.
Right, yeah.
He knows to bring someone's attention to.
Well, you can hear the air conditioner short cycling or something
yeah.
like that. Then
and
you know
and
right
he can
away
make a recommendation.
Yeah,
he says,
yeah.
here, if you get a hold, here's a number. Get a hold of Infinite Green Resources. They'll be happy to push you in the right direction,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we do. We just kind of help people get them moving because you're vulnerable at that spot. When somebody walks in and says, you know, it's a compressor, and you're like, really? And you're going, okay, I got $20,000 worth of food in the walk-in, and they're telling me it's a $1,500 compressor, $20,000. Just do the compressor,
right?
And then all of a sudden, you find out it was the capacitor,
exactly.
But you don't know because you're not going up on the roof because you're worried about the brisket and so on and so forth. And those were your days.
Yeah, no, we worry
cooking
about brisket. Doug, how'd you get into the business?
Well, I actually have a military background. I was a Marine officer for about 8 years, and
wow.
I got out a few years ago, and I was doing different things.
Congratulations,
oh,
by the way.
You.
I did 3 years in the Army back during the Vietnam War. And
my dad did the same
thing. Yeah, yeah. I didn't have to go to Vietnam. I was very fortunate.
Okay,
I got stationed in Wiesbaden, Germany instead of Vietnam.
Oh, you can't hate
yeah.
that. Yeah.
yeah.
So I did some sales jobs and things in San Diego where I was living, and I decided I wanted to kind of go into business for myself. But kind of being a military-type guy, I was very used to, again,
push-ups.
The system, all that, but the systems and kind of having a game plan for things that were a little more regimented. So a partner and I started to look at franchises, and Hood's is actually a franchise.
Did you go to a franchise show? Is that how you came across it?
I did do several of those.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I met the gentleman who became my partner. We looked at a couple different concepts. He actually became a franchise consultant, so he was real familiar with the ins and outs of every corporate structure, you know. So we started to look at this one, and Hood's is a national brand,
mm-hmm.
and they're the country's, you know, we have somebody everywhere now. We were able to get the Phoenix and the Tucson marketplace there, so we kind of liked the corporate structure. They're backed by they're owned by a company called Belfour,
oh, okay,
which is, you know, the world's largest mm-hmm. property restoration company. So they had the financial backing to do the things, put the systems in place that are going to provide that quality and result for the customer. And we thought that was a team that we wanted to be on as we try to kind of consolidate this industry into something that's a little more professional, just like you're doing with Infinite Green, you know, something, a solution for the restaurateur that's easy, you know, for them to be able to do. So.
And you've been doing it since 2000 and what?
The company's been in Phoenix for about a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
We took over just a short while ago. From
wow.
the previous owner who had some, you know, family struggles and things that they were dealing with. So,
how many times have you had to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and go solve a problem?
Fortunately,
wasn't that last Thursday? Doug, we were
yeah.
on duty somewhere.
We're usually already out there. Yeah, you know, usually they're calling you in the morning when you're trying to sleep it off.
Okay, we're going to take a small break here so that we can listen to Dave Isaac do his commercial.
Let's turn everything up real loud.
Yeah,
then.
Exactly.